Hello, welcome to Learning from Strangers, a show where two people you don't know talk about things that might interest you. I'm Ethan Moses, and joining me as always is Holly Phillips. Holly, how are you doing?
Hey, well, keeping with the update, I'm like 14 days a virgin.
14 days of a virgin.
What? I feel like, so clean.
Do you, like, really? Like emotionally, spiritually, physically, what? Like, the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's like I mentioned in the pod, you know, two episodes ago, that I just don't have any worries.
Wow.
You know?
Do you kind of look down on people now that have sex? Are you kind of like, you're going to hell?
I'm not at that point yet.
Not yet.
But
if you do,
I would
this
imagine.
Show's going to suck. Oh my
God. No, I'm probably still secretly jealous of them a little.
No. Oh, jeez.
But it's okay. I feel like I need to like start keeping a journal. You know.
Yeah, why not? I imagine you have like a calendar and you're crossing X's off each day that goes by. Like that's what I did when we were trying to eat healthier, but I imagine that would be the only way to like, oh, that's 14 days. That's kudos to you, Holly. Kudos to you.
I mean, in terms of, you know, most what is it? Like habits or whatever, after 2 weeks, you know, you're like smooth sailing.
You're in. Holy cow. Well, that's I want to congratulate you. like half of me wants to congratulate you. The other one's like, ah, yeah, I don't know. I did not think that was going to be a thing that we were going to keep going on, but I like it. I like that you have.
I mean, this might get really pathetic, just FYI, because what if we're like 3 months down the road? I'm like, hey, I'm 90 days a virgin.
Still working at it.
Everyone's like, okay, we get it. You're a loser.
Oh, no, I'm sure they know better than that. Well, I've been chipping away at my German classes. I'm not going to speak any German on this because I'm not very good at it, but it's been really weird to be a student again, so I'm trying to get back into that. I don't know. It's really, I don't know if I can go back to school.
Look at us bettering ourselves in 2014.
Well, in my, actually not defense, but I should have probably started doing German like year one that we were in Germany. So, but hindsight's always 2020, you know, so
right.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess, yeah, 2014 is a big year for us. We're doing some good shit.
Yeah.
So actually, speaking of 2014 and things changing, you and I were talking last week about an interesting date you had where the gentleman was having conversations that more or less did not pan out to being first date material. And
right.
We decided, hey, we should talk about that. That's
yes.
Probably the greatest segue I've ever done. I don't know how we connected all that kind of stuff. But as we've kind of been talking, we've kind of focused on first dates in the last few shows we've done, but not, you know, completely. But now we want to talk about the shit you don't say. And when I say shit, right. I mean the shit you don't say on a first date.
Or, you know, getting to know someone.
Right. Yeah, the things that you should put in the back of your mind, things that you probably may never, ever want to say, but we're just going to assume that at least in the initial stages of a relationship, you don't want to say these to people. So we don't want to get into the gory details of that date because I think that happened somewhat recently. And if he happens to be the type of individual that, you know, puts a lot of effort into background checking his dates, it may be a little bit insulting for him. But what, you know, I think people, there's an aspect of first dates that's really nerve-wracking, and as a guy, guys usually say stupid shit. So is this an issue that guys have, or do girls have it as well?
Yeah, I think everyone has it. I mean, I think it depends on your personality and, like, what you're comfortable saying and not saying, you know, partially. But I was kind of thinking about this over the past week, because when I went on dates in college, I really didn't think that people always say like politics, religion, money, those are automatically off the table. But I was thinking, you know, I don't really mind if someone brings that up. But when because a few times in college, someone did, like on a first date, they brought it up and it went well. So I was like, you know, what's the big deal? You can talk about anything. But now that I've gotten older, I've had some instances where those things were brought up and it was not good. So I don't know if it's like because I'm, you know, almost 10 years older, or if I've had, you know, more experience and opinions in those areas, so I feel more offended by them, I guess, or if it's just the situation.
Yeah. So actually, we could almost, I mean, it may almost be worth breaking it down into age groups, because I know, you know, you could probably go in and talk about, I don't know, your Justin Bieber fascination, you know, in a high mm-hmm. school setting, which would probably be an okay thing, but in college, maybe not so acceptable. And then at, you know, 45 years old, that definitely is not something you want to talk about. But I think you hit the nail on the head, money, politics, and religion. Me generally never talk about that kind of stuff.
That's because, like, the trifecta, yeah.
Oh, that is like, because when I have talked about those things, one, I am a very uninformed person. Even if I attempt to sound informed about any of that, I know nothing about all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I always kind of sound like a dick. And there's always that time where you know, touch on that subject, and that person has just a fire inside of them. Like, oh my God, I've been wanting to talk about my Republican agenda all fucking week. Or right. I love the dim, you know, that kind of. I'm like, oh shit. And so you open up maybe a conversation. Me, I would open up conversations I was not prepared for, you know, or
yeah.
So that I think those are pretty safe bets not to talk about. But those are also pretty easy ones not to talk about, because. Casually, that's advice people give you. But what's something weird that you shouldn't talk about that people have talked to you about in the past?
Let's see. I guess, you know, and this is probably going to sound really picky, but I really don't like getting into conversation that I feel like, and don't take offense to this, Ethan, but getting into conversation that I feel like married people have. Like, what did you have for lunch today?
What if I want to know what you had for lunch today? What's?
I don't know. I just think it's like...
Holly, I never ask my wife what she's had for lunch.
Okay, good.
Because
good.
I make her lunch every morning, and so I already know what she had.
Oh, so you already know. Yeah. Well, that's... Well.
if somebody asks you... Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of whipped, but... Well,
I feel like it's a sign of, like, that they can't stand the silence when they're like, so, what did you have for lunch? It just is sort of... Or, like, me being analytical, I'm like, are they trying to see if I'm, like, a person that brings my lunch to work? Or...
It's like a CIA kind of, like brain scan. They're like, oh, now I know everything I need to know about you.
Right.
If they just get up at that date at that point, because they already know, yeah, they know all they need to know about you.
They're like, if she says spaghetti and meatballs, I am out of here. Oh,
yeah. Gets a bias towards, yeah, Italian food. But I mean, but you kind of bring up an interesting point. Is silence is, as far as I'm concerned, the worst thing to have on a first date. And so me being wanting to prevent that.
Like, what did you have for lunch?
Yeah, like, well, what do you think about the weather? How's the weather? You know, like I do that. And I do that as a 30-year-old man. I ask people about the weather way too much now. And I can only imagine how often I talked about it on first dates. So filling that silence with bullshit, you would say, probably is not the best thing to do.
Yeah, I don't really mind silence. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't want to be sitting there for minutes
staring, you know, across the table at each other.
Like that, it's like that Saturday Night Live skit where all you can hear is like the utensils like clicking on the plate, you know. But I mean, if it's like a little bit of silence, I'm cool with it. I'm confident in my silence.
Yeah, you're just being, you're being thoughtful about what you want to say next, you know? It's kind of nice. Now, if they stare at you while you do that, that's not okay. Am I right on that? I mean, if they just stare at you, second, third date, I think that's okay. When is it too soon to bring up dick size?
I don't know.
Is that something you just kind of slide across? Should you write it on a note and slide it across the table like it's an offer, like in a business deal? I mean, do you think, or you just probably shouldn't say anything?
Yeah, probably shouldn't. Although, I mean, if you find out later, and it's not good, then all this was a waste of time.
Well, but I mean, but you're okay. So if a dude walks in, I mean, I feel like that's a very confident thing to do. Like, if
he walks in and sits down at the table and he's like, 8 inches.
I got 8 inches. Yeah. Girls don't think that's cool? That's not a good thing?
That's never happened to me. I don't really know what I would do. Is that something guys do?
I hope not. I have no idea. I've never done that. I don't, I've never done that, but I think that would be the greatest thing to happen on a first date. It's one of the two extremes. They're either disgusted and leave immediately, or they go, well, that one, good size, and two, holy shit, that's confident of that guy. So, right. Probably not something that most dudes probably don't have anything to really like advertise at that point. So,
right.
And girls can't really advertise boob size because we can already see them and we're already looking at them anyway. So that's not really something that has happened. So,
right, that's not fair.
Maybe keep sexual organs off the table.
That's a good rule of thumb.
No money, no politics. No religion, no dicks. Slide it right off there. Right. So, but what I think one that I want to throw in there is like sad stories. Like,
don't tell
me a sad story.
Are you saying sad stories across the board? Like, we're talking categories of like pity as well as like my cat died.
Well, like, if your cat died that day, don't come on a first date with me. Like, I can't, like, because yeah. I'm a cat person. But I've been on dates where it's going pretty good, but mm-hmm. there's an aspect of self-deprecation that is slowly starting to build up, and then just the whole my life kind of sucks routine comes into play. And it's always like, I don't know what to say. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean...
And then it's like, why would you want to get involved in that?
Yeah. I mean, so you're more or less... And then I think, you want to talk about being analytical. Then I'm thinking, oh, are they not interested and they're trying to be, like, indirectly polite by kind of, like, making themselves look like a mess even though they may not be, but just like, oh, yeah, my house burnt down today. I'm in debt. Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, those
the
kind of...
The Eeyore.
Oh, yeah. Like, you should be somewhat... You should be enthusiastic on a first date. I think that, yeah. I don't know. I think if I walk into a first date and someone's like, if I walk into it now, I'm in trouble. But in the past, if I walked into a first date and someone was just kind of like, oh, hey, good to see you. I'd be like, oh, fuck. This is probably going to suck, you know. It takes some time to build up, but still. Sad stories. Keep them. And even if it's a sad story that has nothing to do with you. Like, don't start reciting aspects of Homeward Bound to me. That story gets me every fucking time. Those animals right. just came together, you know? Well, that's not as sad, though. That's a little bit hopeful. It's got a hopeful into it.
I think, like, when you're first meeting someone, first date, probably first couple of dates, to be honest, you're kind of putting your best effort forward. You're trying to present yourself in the best way, I would think. So, mm-hmm. hopefully you're not, like, coming to these first couple of dates being, like, you know, with all these negative stories. However, what if it comes up? Like, what if the guy's like, hey... You know, what's your relationship with your family like? And you're like, my mom passed away when I was young. Or what if it's something like that? Like, you gotta find a way to, like, kind of say it without being like...
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's really no way to, like, put a happy spin on the death of a family member, you know? They're like,
yeah, or what if it's just like, oh, you know, I don't have a good relationship with my family or whatever. Then it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it does make it. It makes it kind of tough. That's why I never ask about anyone's family. As far as I'm concerned, I assume everybody I go on a first date with is an orphan. It just makes things easier. There's no baggage here. As long as I don't insult orphans, and I'm perfectly fine in that situation. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I tend to kind of stay away from family too, because if
wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the past when I did, unless they brought it up, like
yeah.
But I will say, because the last time I brought up family, I ended up getting married to the person that I brought family up to. I don't know why I got into family on this. Well, here's another, some more advice on first date stuff, and this is what we talked about a while ago, is watch how much you drink. The first date with my wife, for some reason, and coming from me just saying, don't really talk about family, I drank too much because I was nervous because I liked her. She's cool, and she's still pretty cool at this point. For some reason, I went through the birthing details of me and all of my brothers. You know, so
what?
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know what happened. Like, there are points in time where you get nervous and say something you shouldn't have, and there are points right. in time that you say you get nervous and you say everything that you probably shouldn't. And at that point, I was like, oh yeah, like I don't know how it all got brought up, but I was like, oh yeah, I was like, I don't know if my mom really was really excited about us, because one brother came out and had absorbed his twin. I don't know if that's a real story, but we kind of have built that up over the years. I came out with the umbilical cord wrapped around my head. My other brother pulled my mom's uterus out.
Wow.
And she's just sitting there like, oh. But she's still with me. So maybe that is something you should bring to the table. I don't know. Like, it's always, that's why it's kind of touch and feel and all this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, because I feel like you can almost go about it one of two ways. You can either follow, you know, a list of rules, whether they're rules like you made for yourself or like rules we're talking about here, and just play it safe, go for it, whatever. Or you can like you said, walk in, slap your dick on the table, and be like, hey, take it or leave it.
You shouldn't do that on a first date either. That would just set a bad precedent for the rest of your relationship.
You can walk take in my and dick. Talk about your birthing story say, are you cool with conversation like this for the rest of your life? Yes or no?
When she even said, I thought you were nervous, and so I kind of like brushed past it, but then she realized, like, for 7 years, we have those conversations on a daily basis. So, I mean, which is the point, is don't just think that's nerves, everybody. If someone starts talking about weird shit, they're probably going to talk about weird shit for the entirety. Yeah, they're probably so, I don't know. Family can be kind of weird. How do you feel about hobbies? I feel like hobbies are a really kind of important thing to kind of discuss, but some people have hobbies that may not be, like taxidermy. Like, let's say you're an avid taxidermist. Do you bring that up?
I mean, if someone is an avid taxidermist, I feel like they're not going to give a shit if they should or should not bring it up. They're going to be like, this is what I do.
If they have, like, a stuffed falcon on their shoulder when they walk in? This is me.
Oh, my God.
This is me. Yeah.
I might think that's kind of awesome, to be honest.
It is kind of awesome. I when I was in Prague, there was a lot of really badass taxidermy, and I kind of thought maybe I want to get into it. And then I looked up taxidermy. It's really fucking tough. It's tough. And if you mess it up, it looks really bad and really scary. So, wonder what the market for, is there like a dating website for taxidermists? Because I feel like that's like a social...
taxidermistsmeet.com.
Yeah, why not?
You should market that. Maybe
I'm gonna write this down, taxidermistsmeet. But I mean, like, what kind of hobbies, let's look at this real quick. So your hobbies, I mean, you like to write, you like to cook. Yeah. Those are pretty easy ones, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I have pretty like normal hobbies.
Yeah, I also like to write. I also like to cook. I also like to play video games, which can be a little bit of a, that's one that, you know, I don't know. Some people like it, some people don't. And I also really like H.P. Lovecraft, and to a degree that may be a bit weird. And so I know that I can say I like to write, I like to read, I like to cook, but I won't get into how much I like, you know, a early 20th century sci-fi writer, because then it gets a bit weird, unless they too like H.P. Lovecraft. But you can usually tell if someone really likes H.P. Lovecraft. So,
like, what, they have like a stamp on their head?
Well, they're probably pretty odd. they're probably pretty odd. Yeah,
I have that same thing too, because I do like to write, read, cook, but I also, in the past like year, I got into like writing poetry and doing poetry slams, which to me is cool, but it's like really dorky. So I probably would feel the person out before I was like, I like to do this.
Poetry slams are your idea of dorky? Holly,
have you ever been to a poetry slam?
No, but I spent 3 hours last night talking to a digitalized characterization of myself. And screaming at them because they weren't fighting mythological creatures fast enough. So, yeah, no, I think that a poetry slam would probably be okay. Is that where you go and you, like, do you – I guess you don't fight, but you compete against people in a poetry
slam?
Yeah,
you do it for points. You pretty much, like, perform poetry for points. I guess when I think of it, I think of that scene in She's All That where she's, like, in that weird group poem thing, you know. It's total like beatnik, and she's like under a sheet, and it's supposed to be like some weird alien thing. I don't know. Think of that. No, hell no, it's not that at all.
It's a standard I think with anything, if it's standard poetry slamming, it's okay, but there's a level of poetry slamming I think you get into, like that niche poetry slamming that's just like maybe a more avant-garde or more, you know, performance based, and it's like, ah, maybe that's a bit odd. Right. So maybe don't bring that up. Don't bring up that you're a poet.
Sorry. Right. I mean, I think when people think of poet, when I think of it, before I really got into it, I was thinking like berets and snapping and emotional everything.
Oh, I was thinking pretentious douche. Was that not? No, I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Like, no, it's totally on the cartoon Doug. It's his sister. What was her name? It's her. That's what I think of.
I don't remember, but yeah, I absolutely do.
She wore a beret all the time, and she had, like, red hair.
But I think that, like, for people that write, poetry is not as strange and like someone said, like, I was an English major, so I mean I dated people that were poetry majors or whatnot. That was never weird to me, but I think that people that aren't in like a creative,
right,
especially in writing, because even like telling someone that you write can be kind of weird and off-putting to people because they have kind of an idea of what that is. And so for like a writer, like say you do poetry, I'm like, that's not weird at all. I was kidding about the pretentious douche thing. If I could write poetry, I definitely would. But people that aren't in that or that are pretty standard in terms of what they do, I would see how they could probably see that as being like, oh, poetry, which isn't, it's not a good thing, but fuck. I mean, people people have to kind of make their judgment calls. And so, and then it may be good for somebody else too. If you do poetry and someone reacts that badly to you doing poetry, they're probably not that great anyway. So maybe a good litmus test for, you know, whether or not that person's going to exist. So, but yeah, like even when meeting people now, I never say I write because one, it's not like, you know, a career at this point, but it always kind of, it's a very, either end of the spectrum, like reaction. Like no one's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's nice. They're really like, oh, that's cool. Or that's, I don't know. I don't agree with that. You should get a real job or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, are there any hobbies that a guy would say that he has to you and you would just boom, shut it down?
I mean, living in Louisiana, I feel like most of the things that I hear are like, you know, outdoor stuff.
Like
you
noodling?
Know.
What if he said he went noodling?
Oh my gosh, noodling. I don't know. I wouldn't shut it down. But I mean, if he was like, if this is going to work out, you have to do it with me, then fuck that.
I'm not reaching into some stump to find a catfish. Fuck no. I mean, it looks cool, but no, you wouldn't do that. But I mean, well, I mean, is there in, there's got to be one other than taxidermy. But you kind of seem to have been enthusiastic about taxidermy, so maybe not, actually. I think you would like
that. I mean, obviously, like, I am an animal lover, so I wouldn't want him to, like, meet my cat and be like, oh, can't wait to do that.
He's just sizing up your cat the entire day. You're like, excuse me. You're like, I'm sorry. I was just taking measurements.
He's like, how old is your cat? When is the expiration date on this thing?
Have you thought about the future of your cat? I mean...
I want to make it like into a pose of like her like on top of my fridge, like about to pounce. Like, yeah.
I could imagine him posing your poor cat, and you're just like, "Are you playing with the cat?" He's like, "Yeah, I love cats. Yeah, no, I'm."
He's like, "The right side is clearly her better side."
Oh, yeah. hopefully taxidermists don't listen to this show because I like taxidermy. I think it's really cool, so don't take offense to that, anybody.
Hobbies that I would be totally turned off by, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some out there that I've like never even heard of. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty open-minded.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's nice. That's good. I don't think that's all across the board, but I think that I would say to people that, I'll definitely say this, people that play video games, that is not something you bring up on a first date, like, and talk about for an extended period of time, like straight up, because there's a negative connotation associated with that. Most people that play video games, people that don't play video games, assume that's all you do. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, oh, I like video games. I play them every once in a while, but don't go into details about it. And this is coming from somebody who, you know, somebody asked me in college, I was like, date's going good. We're talking. And she's like, oh, you know, so what do you like to do? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what I did today. And I talked
video games
probably about 25 minutes too long. So about 24 and a half minutes about video games and that kind of stuff.
What?
Because it's college, being a college dummy. You know, just being a college dummy.
No, I know. But what did you say for 25 minutes where you're like, okay, so in level one, you have this and you look good.
I may have run down my favorite games of all time, why I like them, what I want to do in the future with them. Because, you know, when I was in college, I kind of thought that I wanted to, you know, be a video game developer and write stories and that kind of stuff for them. And I kind of went into that But I which is not a bad thing, because it's kind of like, oh, I'm kind of, in my mind, I was like, I'm kind of talking about a potential career. But what I didn't realize I was doing was kind of like weaving in and out of this really weird, obsessive, like, video game conversation with someone who could not care less, who not only could not care less, but did not understand that and probably had their own idea of what all of that meant. And so, you know, I never saw the glazed over look, which is definitely something you want to look for in a first date, because it makes things much easier down the road. But as soon as I was done, I looked over them and it was just like, oh shit. Like,
she was like asleep on the table.
Done. Like if she, I mean, literally within 20 minutes, I think it was like a check please type thing. Like,
oh my god.
Like, I've got to get going thing. So, I mean, that's definitely one to, and I know there's a lot of people like, oh, geek pride. You know what? Then go and date people that really like games. I'm telling you, if you're trying to date a normie, and this can apply to most hobbies, like if you're an avid hunter, avid, you know, race car driver, whatever, like when you talk about your hobby a bit too much, like obsessively, people kind of get a bad idea of you. And I would, it's definitely something to avoid, unless it's like a hobby, like working out. That's okay. That's pretty common. Everyone kind of works. You know what? Actually, no. Let me think about that. Cause I had a conversation. Yeah. I went on a date one time where they talked about running a little bit too much. I didn't like that too much. So maybe not. I don't just keep things nice and tight, you know?
One thing definitely you shouldn't bring up, and this is probably one that we totally, it should be added to the list of, like, definitely not, is, like, past relationships.
First date.
That's a big, I feel like that's a big no-no.
What if you dated somebody really cool? Like a celebrity.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. Why would you be saying that? Just to make yourself look awesome?
Yeah, kind of.
They'd be like, who'd you last date? Justin Timberlake.
I used to say that on my first dates too.
That's what you're up against.
I used to date
Kate
Justin
Upton.
Timberlake. I don't know. I don't really like Kate Hudson too much. I mean, she's fine. She's pretty, but not my style. No, but yeah, okay. So the first date stuff, because
that makes it look like you're like still attached, or like that you still give a shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess if they, although, you know, I have had guys always ask me, why are you single? That shit pisses me off.
It's not complimentary, kind of.
What am I supposed to say to that?
That is a good point.
I'm single because I dated a fucking alcoholic. Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah.
Single because I'm crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a good point. I think guys think that's a compliment.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't think that. I know that guys think that's a compliment. Well, like,
stop saying it.
Yeah, dude, stop saying it.
Like, it's... I mean, when anyone says it to me, girl, guy, whatever, but especially in a date setting, it's like, what am I supposed to say? You know, because I feel like anything I can say is just, I don't know, me look dumb.
You're either going to say, I'm awful, that's why, or I'm really picky, and both of those
I'm
are not
so
good things.
I'm so awesome. Like, I'm single because I'm so awesome, I just can't.
Yeah.
No
one's met my standards yet, and you're not really doing all that well. So, about 15
next
more minutes.
Time someone asks me that, I should just be like, you know what? I really hate it when people ask me that, and that would be like, shut down.
Yeah. I mean, if the date's not going well, that's a really good way to shut it down. I think there's an aspect of, do you go into first dates knowing it's going to be a first date and just being okay with that, or do you anticipate there being a second date? Like, in my mind, every time I went on a first date, I thought, oh, this is a beginning of a long-term relationship. And some people don't always think like that, you know?
Right. It's interesting that you said that, because when I went on this last first date, I was kind of getting some anxiety, because in general, the idea of like a relationship gives me anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I would say in college, the idea of a first date, I would go into it thinking, okay, this, because, and I don't mean this to sound wrong, but like, I feel like I can pretty much have a conversation with anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it's my personality, my job as like a journalist, I can ask questions, talk all day long. But like, so I don't feel like a first date goes poorly because of lack of conversation. It's usually like lack of chemistry, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I used to, like, in high school and college, be like, okay, well, first date, there's probably going to be a second date. Because mm-hmm. sometimes after the first date, it's not enough to know, really, mm-hmm. you know. But now I really try hard to only think of it as a first date.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good rule of thumb, too, going into it. The expectations aren't incredibly high by any stretch of imagination. So.
And I think it's, like, a good idea to, like, when you leave the first date, not to really think about, like, I don't want to say fantasize, but don't think about if there's going to be a second date unless the person asks, mm-hmm. you know? Because you're going to start, like, building up this relationship in your head that's not happening.
Well, and that kind of translates to the point, don't talk during the first date as if there's going to be a second date or something more beyond that. You know, that is probably that's something that maybe I had to learn the hard way, because in my mind, and this is really sexist and I've gotten over it since then, but I'm just gonna say it because we're all about honesty here. In my mind, bitches be wanting marriage. I say that because I had the wrong attitude about that in college. You know what I mean? That's kind of like that's kind of what it was. And that's one, that's really sexist. Two, that's kind of assuming that maybe I'm better than I think I am. And three, it's a very good way of starting conversation topics that are really, really kind of inappropriate for that kind of context, you know?
So what did you say?
Well, just kind of like things simply as, oh, we should definitely, you know, you should do come this. Down and, you know, see my aunt's horse farm sometime or something.
Yeah.
Subtle things that I'm saying to kind of like build up my,
like your net worth, kind of.
Yeah, like even though it's not my net worth is somebody else. Like kind of making myself sound interesting, but trying to include
Like your life is going to be so awesome if they join in.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. Yeah,
exactly. And mm-hmm. that's probably not the best thing to. I don't know. That's not the best thing to do. Or offering to, like, you know, I didn't do this, but I know some guys are quick to, and some women for that matter, quick to kind of not talk directly about finances, but kind of like hint at. Like, things will be a little bit different if you hang out with me. Like, do you see that? You know, you like cappuccino, we drink it every single day. You know, that kind of stuff. So, just assuming it's the first day, I think it's pretty safe. I think that's a really, really good thing. So, what else? What are we missing? What are we missing on this?
Well, we talked about money, politics, religion, past relationships, hobbies. What else?
I mean, do pets come into this? You and I had a whole podcast dedicated to cats, which, you know, which was good because we were both cat people. But, I mean, mm-hmm. Does there come a limit?
I mean, I think so.
I mean, how into detail do you get about your relationship with your cat?
On a first date?
On a first date.
I wouldn't even, I honestly probably wouldn't even mention having a cat unless the person asked.
Are you kidding? That's kind of fucking cold.
Like, what am I gonna say? Well, I have a cat, so
hey, if someone says that, you have a pet, like, I have a cat, and that's all you give it? No more, like, no,
what do you want me to say?
What about, like, the little fun conversations you have with your cat? You don't
No, I'm not gonna bring that. No, that's secret.
Your secret? I have secret conversations with my cat. Join me on a second date and you can hear
what am I gonna Yeah, I have a cat, and I actually wait till she goes to sleep, and I glue rubber caps on her nails.
That's a funny story, though. You could lead in with that. I think you could definitely be okay. But what if they're a cat person? What if you know, and you'll, as we discussed in the cat episode, you will know someone's a cat person because they tend to be covered in cat hair to every social occasion they show up to.
If it's if I know it's safe to, you know, talk about it, then all right.
Just like a cat person safety, like, kind of. Like, code, like, you know. Like, I know, Holly, I can talk to you about weird cat shit, and we're right. Perfectly fine. There's people, especially dog people, fucking dog people, that you can't have those same conversations with. So it's probably a safe bet just to test the waters a little bit. What's the best way to push out that you have a cat? Like, to see if maybe they have a cat. Other than, let's say they're really clean. What those clean people that don't use the little sticky strips to get the cat hair off of them, what if you have no idea they're a cat person, but you'd like to know? How can we figure that out?
I mean, you could. What's wrong with just saying, like, do you have any pets?
That seems so direct, though. I mean, this is a first date. With all the mystery.
you want to be like, I don't know.
What's your favorite animal? Yeah, like I don't know. That's probably you should probably be correct.
If you could be an animal, what would it be?
If you could be a domesticated animal that's not a dog, what would you choose?
If they say ferret, I am fucking out of there faster than Roadrunner.
There's that hobby. I thought you were open-minded. There's that hobby that what do you have against ferrets, Holly?
They're disgusting.
What the?
Are you serious? You like ferrets? Those things are sick.
Do you want me to tell you a story? I'm about to tell you a real sad story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So for my 18th birthday, while most people were, buying phones or buying new cars and going on dates, I used my birthday money to purchase a ferret named
Duncan. How much was it?
Oh, too much.
$30?
No, it was not $30. It was like $200. What?
A ferret.
Ferrets are fucking expensive. Yeah. And why? You have to buy the cage and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes with ferrets. They're like,
okay, so the stuff was the expensive, not the ferret itself.
I think the ferret itself was actually pretty expensive. Like I think total it was too much money. I don't know why my family, well, because it was my 18th birthday and everyone's like, oh shit, let's give him some money. He's going to college next year. That way he'll have a little nest egg.
You're like actually buying a ferret.
Yeah, I was like, it's finally time. Finally, I have a ferret friend, and he was a good friend. He bit me a lot, but he was a good. He smelled like shit, but he was a good friend. I mean, there was a lot about him that wasn't good, but he was fun. I had him. I took him to soccer games at our high school on a little leash. I had a little leash for the ferret. I walked him.
You were like popular in high school, and now I'm questioning how that happened. I thought
really, thanks, Holly. I never knew that. Yeah,
I didn't know you brought ferrets to soccer. I mean, I was
known as a ferret kid, so I don't know if that's popularity or kind of infamy. I don't know which on the spectrum is on. But so you know, Duncan and I were good friends, and we talked as much as a human and a ferret can. And he developed a disease, and he killed himself on my birthday when I was 20. And I drank beer and cried all day. He actually swallowed a cloth to kill himself because he was in so much pain. And that is a pain.
Are you serious?
You just caused me by saying you don't like ferrets. No, I think he died of natural causes, but we
can't. Oh, I was like, oh my God.
I kind of built up this legendary story of, as more of an excuse of why I was bawling my eyes out when I was 20 years old on my birthday. It was more about me looking to the future. It was actually pretty sad, but I like ferrets.
That he died on your birthday.
Oh, yeah. And I think he
died. My cat, I had to put my cat to sleep the day before my birthday. See, so I feel your pain.
That's pretty sad. But cats are much cleanlier than ferrets, and I will give it to you on ferrets, because like ferrets,
I mean, if you're a grown adult, I mean, you have a ferret, I just feel like that's not clean.
They're not clean. However, have you seen the movie Beastmaster?
No.
Oh, okay, well this reference would mean nothing to you, but what if he had the ferret with him on the date and it stole your heart, you know? Like, what if it just suddenly he's like, oh, wait a second, I've got a friend with me, and like the ferret just made its way out of a backpack and up on his shoulder. You would not be impressed by that?
And did what after it got onto his shoulder?
Stared at you with its little beady ferret eyes. No.
I can't believe you had a fucking leash for your ferret.
You have to walk people, ferrets, so they I get know that. People. And they can't squeeze under doors. That's like
I know people have those, but I didn't know you were one of these people.
Yeah, I have a leash for my cat, too. It doesn't work the same way, because, you know, but yeah. Oh, I have leashes for way too many animals. I don't even know. What we got? Oh, yeah, we came from a pet conversation. Snakes creep me out. No snake pets. I don't want to hear.
Oh, snakes. Yeah.
Ugh. Or tarantulas or insects or anything like that. Sorry.
Ooh, yeah.
You may be a really cool person. You may, you know, movies may have taught me to think about people with tarantulas in a negative way, but I'm sorry. It creeps me the fuck out. Bugs. I hate bugs. I don't like snakes. So fucking leave that cold blooded bullshit at home. You know, we don't want to hear about that kind of stuff. So keep your pet conversation within reason. What else? What I'm trying to think of. I had a
good one. Somebody asked me if I could do any good impressions, and that kind of pissed me off.
That pissed you off?
Well, I just felt like it was awkward, because I can't, so I just said no, and it was kind of like, okay, well, Dead silence. Cool. Well,
okay, so at what point in the date did this conversation? I mean, did this come up? Was it pretty early? Was it later on?
I mean, it was later on, but I still felt like it was too early to ask. I feel like that's something that comes up. If I'm like, hey, I can do an awesome impression of Barbara Walters, that's I'll do it for you. It's not a question that you need to ask me.
he's making sure that, you know, like, I can only take girls that do impressions, so let me make...
Well, I honestly kind of wondered, is he playing, like, bingo? Like, does he have, like, a card where he's like, okay, she does a good impression, has a cat... is a poet. Bingo. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, I just felt like I was answering, like, a list of questions, kind of. So when he's like, can you do any good impressions? I'm like, no. Is that, like, a thing? Do most people do impressions?
Let me say, I can't do impressions, but I've created a lot of different characters that I go with. Some of them are a bit racially insensitive, and some of them are you know, no, I'm just kidding. I don't make it. I may have had a leash for my ferret, but I don't do racially insensitive characters. I'm an open-minded guy. But what if he did an impression? It was really cool. I mean, is that cool?
Yeah.
Are impressions on first dates okay?
Yeah, I think so. But I just I would never think to go on a first date and be like, so, impressions, what do you got?
Got any... It's like a fucking casting meeting at that point. Like, oh.
Or like jokes. Got any good jokes?
Oh, man.
Like, no.
Should you tell jokes on a first date? Like, generally speaking?
I feel like the funny should happen, like, organically. It shouldn't be like, hey, a guy walks into a bar.
Yeah. Especially if you happen to be a guy that's walking into a bar. That's too fucking meta for me. Like, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I feel like I'm a dude and I should be. So we keep the jokes off the table, keep the impressions. I think it's going to be so funny is at the end of this, if we happen to compile a list, and this is with all of our shows, if we happen to
compile a list. It's basically like show up and don't say a fucking word.
Don't say a fucking thing. Keep your impressions at home. Keep your ferrets at home. Keep your bring your taxidermy. We're cool with the taxidermy, but everything else we fucking hate. I mean, but it kind of brings the point how you know, nerve-wracking first dates are. So maybe at the end of the day, like just maybe don't, I don't know. Just don't fucking care. Maybe throw caution in the wind. I almost feel like we've come full circle on this. I think that, you know, religion, politics, and money, yeah, those are definitely the ones to keep off the table. But I don't know. Like, if someone's going to want to date you for a long term, the little quirky aspects to them. I mean, I think I'm a good example of this, though a lot of people question my wife's judgment call in terms of marrying me. Like, the quirkiness, I don't know. Some people like quirkiness. Some people don't. And, you know, I think maybe that's something to take into consideration. You can usually know someone's personality to an extent, you know, when first meeting them, you know, and that kind of stuff can shine through. A little quirkiness is okay. I don't know. It's kind of confusing, but, I don't know. I can't think of anything else now. I mean, there's a million of these. But, you know, what I want to do is, and I kind of want to add this segment into these shows is, you know, we've been getting some comments on the site, and if you have some ideas or some thoughts about what not to talk about or what not to say on a first date, definitely, you know, come in with those. Today we've dealt with, you know, don't talk about sexual organs, don't talk about pets too much, don't talk about impressions, keep hobbies to a minimum, smile, and smell fresh.
Yeah.
Smell fresh. Please smell fresh.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I hope to God that you go on a date in the next few weeks and it is a dude that has all of these qualities. And he sweeps you off your fucking feet. Like, he does all these impressions to begin.
Right.
He tells knock-knock jokes. He's got a fucking stuffed falcon on his shoulder and a ferret. And for some reason, he chinks away that armor. And he's like, ah, I'm going. Or maybe now dudes will, like, use this as a means of, like, oh, I know what she doesn't like. And I'm going to see if this works, you know? Or you just basically, like, cut down your whole... all these options, all these guys are just like, ah, fuck. All these Louisiana ferret owners are like, God damn it!
Right? They're like, ah, I so thought I had a chance with her.
There goes that. So, well, good. Well, hey, I'm glad that we could have helped some people today, and I'm sure we'll think of some other things to be cautious of saying when you're on a first date. This has been fun. We're going to try to, brainstorm last week and thought that we wanted to talk about some subjects that may not be as serious, you know, so we're going to try to do that more often. If anybody has any ideas for shows or wants to be on the show, We want, we'd love to talk to people on the show. We absolutely would. I mean, I think Holly and I do a pretty good job, but I mean, if we could bring if you're an expert, if you've got doctor in front of your name, that's tight. That's super tight. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll just like the fact that you have that. If you have a cool accent, Holly, you've got a lot of people in Louisiana with cool ass accents. So maybe we could work on that. But, again, hey, thank you everybody for watching. Thanks for following us. Share the podcast and, you know, live a good, clean life.
Yeah, virgin.
Become a virgin, every single one. So, thanks a lot, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.